Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, the scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in the Gospel according to John, the 4th chapter, the first 26 verses, John 4, verses 1 through 26. And let us first sing from Psalter number 23, 1, 2, and 3. The God who sits enthroned on high, the foolish in their heart deny. Not one does good, corrupt in thought, unrighteous works their hands have wrought. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 23.
Before we read the portion of God's holy word, we will read the Ten Commandments of the Lord. And God spake all these words, Exodus 20, Deuteronomy 5, saying, I am the Lord thy God which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not take unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me, and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. John chapter 4. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcelor ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. Then cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then said the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, ask a drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that said to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman said unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water, springing up into everlasting life. And the woman said unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus said unto her, Go, call thy husband, and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou hast now hast is not thy husband. In that saidst thou truly. The woman said unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus said unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman said unto him, I know that Messiah is coming, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus said unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. Thus far the reading of God's word.
We hope to remember in prayer this morning Mr. John Gulliker, who has to have surgery in this coming week. Also, Mrs. DePuter, who must go to Calgary for testing. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Lord of heaven and of earth, it is again thy holy day, and we have begun to sing out of thy holy word, wherein the psalmist has written so long ago that awful truth concerning the depth of our fall and the breadth of it, even to the last man in this world, so that thou didst look from thy holy place upon the children of men, to see if there were any that did understand, if there were any and that did seek God. But they were all gone astray, and they are turned every one unto his own way. O Lord, thou knowest the heart of each and every one of us, for we are all cast from that same cloth. Then there is not one of us that is different in and of himself. Oh, that thou may open our eyes. Oh, that this truth, this awful truth, and maybe to our awakening in this morning hour, that we may be given eyes, spiritual eyes, to see who and what we are before thee, and that all that thou givest unto us in an outward way, that we may see how that we have forfeited it in our father Adam, and that we continue to do so day by day, and hour by hour in this world. Oh, that our hearts may be made contrite, that our hearts may be broken, that they may be given to melt under all thy great goodness, and that there may be felt that irresistible power of thy Spirit, drawing us once again unto thy blessed footstool. Oh, that there we may find a place to make confession, a place to humble ourselves before our Maker and our Creator, or a place to turn again, a place to weep over all our sin, a place that we may cry to Thee and to say, O God, be merciful to me, the sinner. We can read in Thy Word what Thou sayest of Thy people, that they are all glorious within. Lord, Thou knowest also where they are. Oh, they cannot see it, except Thou wilt open it unto them. For then they see that they have left Thee days without number, and that after received grace, so that they have provoked Thee, that they also may be given that place before Thee in their secret chamber, a place of true repentance, a place when they must in the land of Babylon, far away from Thee, hang their harps on the willows. And then they are taunted by the enemy, who says, "Where is now Thy God?" Then they remember those former days, but they cannot bring themselves back again. It is a captivity, and Thou must deliver them. O Lord, could it please Thee also to remember Thy church in this day? It is Thy holy day. It is a day set aside, even from the beginning, as so it was even before the fall, set aside as a day of rest from all the labors of this world. But now a day after the fall, wherein all the labors of Thee are performed upon the soul. Oh, that Thou may grant that we may know something of that unrest, that holy unrest, that we could not live without God in the world anymore, and that we may be given truly to be drawn by Thy Spirit to seek that rest that remaineth unto the children of God, and then Thy people, they may know something of it, and they may be given a little taste of it already in this life, so that their hearts, they are drawn unto it, and when they must be far from Thee, and then their heart that is mourning, on the one side it is a heart that is seeking after all the vanity of the world, and on the other side, a heart that does chastise itself. Oh, that is now the conflict as they go over this world to meet Thee. Oh, that Thou may remember them therein, and that Thou would teach their hands to war, and their fingers to fight also by renewal, that Thy Spirit may draw them once again out of ways of backsliding, out of ways of slothfulness, and that they may be given a show to say, "Lord, draw me, we will run after Thee. Oh, turn us and we shall be turned. Save us and we shall be saved. And wilt Thou so remember us as a congregation?" And there are many natural needs, but there are greater spiritual needs. There are the needs of souls that have eyes that are closed, that are dead in sins and in trespasses. Oh, they are the needs of those who are born in sin. O Lord, could it please Thee to remember us as a congregation in this need? O, it is Thy day, and when Thou wilt give that Thy word may go forth, may it be with power. O, that there may be a one, that there may be more, that there may be many, in whom that arrow may strike in this day, that they must say, carry me out of the battle, for I am sore wounded. O, a new life, Lord. Would it not be so to Thy honor and to Thy glory, when Thou would take the most wicked one here among us? O, when Thou would convert us, and when Thou would grant us that life that may forsake the world and every former friend, to seek that friend that sticketh closer than a brother. O Lord, remember us all together, also in the natural needs. There are those that have needs of the body in a special way. Him that must receive surgery in the week to come. Lord, we ask of Thee help from above, for the physicians of this world, skill and wisdom, and knowledge and understanding, that they may be enabled to do this surgery. And could it please Thee to bring him safely through, and grant that this may be a blessing for his body, and that he may do the labors of his hands once again in full. His wife also, in all her needs, may Thou remember her. May Thou strengthen her and supply for both of them together in the need of their souls this day. Wilt Thou remember her also that must receive testing in the week to come? O Lord, Thou knowest the concerns. Thou knowest the fears. Thou alone art able to supply for her. O, that Thou may go before her. And wilt Thou make all things well, and may Thou give wisdom also to the physicians in her case, and may it be for her profit, for body and soul together visit her, and all those whom she loves. Remember all the afflicted, all the sick ones, and there are young ones, there are old ones, there are old-aged ones, and there are those that are in the nursing homes, also in their own homes, cared for by others. Wilt Thou supply for all of those that have become old? Remember those that mourn. Supply in all their needs, day by day, in all their missing. Wilt Thou be unto them a God and not afar off. Remember all Thy servants. Be with them on this Thy holy day. O, that Thou may give freedom, give liberty, give opening. Give that gospel net that may be cast in this last dispensation. And may it bring in many fish, good fishes. They are all from Thee. O, that Thou may remember us. Remember those that study in the theological school, the instructors. Increase their number in the months that lie before us. O, give us a prayer to Thee, therefore, that Thou may remember our denomination, and that Thou may bless us with blessings out of Thy heavenly store. Lord, wilt Thou help us in this morning hour, in this hour, when we are called by Thee and sent by Thee to bring Thy word. Then it is not our work, it is not our word. It is Thy word, it is Thy work, it is all dependent upon Thee. Oh, we ask Thee a little help. We ask thee a little opening. And we ask thee for a little favor from above. A little token in this morning that we are thine. And that thou knowest where that we are. Despite all our sin. And all that we are so undeserving. Wilt thou look upon this thy word. Blessed Lord. Oh, blessed this hour. Give that it may bring forth fruit. Some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. That thy name may be honored and glorified. For Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 304, stanzas 1, 2, 3, and 6. Oh, give the Lord wholehearted praise. To Him thanksgiving I will bring. And with all His people I will raise my voice and of His glory sing. We announce that the seniors' morning has been postponed until the 27th of this month. There will be, the Lord willing, a consistory meeting this coming Wednesday evening, January the 14th at 7:30 p.m. And the last collection today is for the Calgary loan repayment. Psalter 304, 1, 2, 3, and 6. The words of our text for this morning hour can be found in that portion of God's Word which was read to you from the Gospel according to John, the 4th chapter, and thereof the 7th verse. John 4, verse 7. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. So far, the words of our text. The Son of God begs water of a sinful Samaritan woman. First, a humble request. Second, a contentious reply. The Son of God begs water of a sinful Samaritan woman. First, a humble request, and second, a contentious reply. Give me to drink. Who is it? It is the Son of God. Give me to drink. That surely is not the first time, and we know certainly that will not be the last time, because there will come a time that in his thirst he will cry out upon that cross on Calvary. And not only is he thirsty, but he is also weary. We read he is weary with his journey. It is about the 6th hour. That is, children, about 12 o'clock noon. And he is weary now with but a half day's journey. That is the experience of the consequences of the sin of his people. Give me to drink. Thus, he requests a little water. Why? Because he had no water. And also because, as that woman said, that he had nothing to draw with. And because that well that was deep, was he then helpless to provide for himself? Was he not the Son of God? Was he not Almighty? Oh, we know that he was able to provide for himself. But then we do not find that the Lord Jesus, he is performing miracles for his own self in order that he may avoid the suffering of the consequences of sin. Because that is the reason for which he came. Thus, he sits there as if that he was a helpless man. He sits there as one who has been emptied in his humanity, coming to such a low point in his humanity, because when we thirst, we can go not long without water. And emptied of that glory of his divinity. So coming, we can read in God's word, so in the case of his children, as that sympathetic high priest, give me to drink. That is a common sight Christ and his followers, suffering temporal needs in this world, and scarce anyone willing to give. They are hungry, and it is time to eat, and they still have to go to find some food. Thus he has emptied himself that he may purchase all the temporal blessings for his people that they have themselves forfeited in their father Adam, humbled himself, becoming poor. Why? That through his poverty they might be rich. Give me to drink. Where is he? He is in Samaria. He is in Sychar. We read near to that parcel of ground that Jacob gave unto his son Joseph when he was in his old age, when he was lying close to that point of death. Then we can read that he has given this portion, we have heard that a little while ago, unto his son Joseph. And now he is sitting there at that well. That is, we read, it is called Jacob's Well. That was the dwelling place of Jacob. That was that place that Jacob has built an altar. It was a place where Jacob has worshipped the Lord. When he has returned... from Laban, and when the Lord has heard his cry, and when the Lord has delivered him from his brother Esau, so that he has received him in a friendly way, and where he has built an altar and he has worshipped the Lord, and now that godliness, that piety of Jacob, that is now remembered to many generations. His children, they are reminded of it every day. And then there were some of them for whom that was a sweet savor. Give me to drink. What is he doing there? What is he doing there in Samaria? Is he now going to preach there? Is he now going to perform miracles in Samaria? Does not Paul say that the Lord Jesus was the minister of the circumcision, that he was the minister of the Jewish nation? And did not the Lord Jesus say to his disciples, go not into unto the way of the Gentiles, and enter not into any city of the Samaritans, but that they should go rather unto that lost sheep of the house of Israel? Is the Lord Jesus now going to go himself unto Samaria and preach unto those Samaritans? No. What is he doing? The Lord Jesus, he is withdrawing. And why is the Lord Jesus withdrawing? He is withdrawing because of persecution. It is not the first time. Because we have heard that when he was already such a little child, then he had to flee. Now we read of it again. You say it is early in his ministry. He is just beginning. Are those Pharisees already gathered against him? Are those Pharisees already deciding to kill him? Have they already asked that if any would know where he is, that they should tell them that they may take him? No. No, it is early in his ministry. It is not yet come that far. And yet we read, when therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees heard that John made and baptized more disciples, that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John. So the Lord knew. He knew that the Pharisees had heard this. And he knew also what was living in the heart of those Pharisees, that there was envy in their heart, that there was malice in their heart, that it was growing. It was first against his forerunner. It was first against John the Baptist, whom they could not receive. And now he knew, as the Son of God, what was going on also in their hearts against himself. Thus, the Lord's work that is actually prospering under affliction, that work that is prospering under persecution, that work is prospering under spite, under hatred, under malice. Just like in Egypt, when we can read that the more that they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. Thus there must be weight on the clock. Maybe you do not know what that means, boys and girls, in our digital age, that there must be weight on the clock. We will not explain that. You ask your father and mother, and they will tell you what that means. Will you do that when you go home? What does that mean, that there must be weight upon the clock, Father? And so it is experienced not only in our days, also in the days of the Lord Jesus. And that church, they may expect that there is such malice and that there is such hatred and such envy. Because the Lord, he says, through much tribulation they shall enter into that kingdom of God. What does Christ do? Because he knows that is hour that is not yet come. He has power. He is the Son of God. He has a divine nature. He has power to silence the Pharisees. He has power to resist the Pharisees. But what does the Lord Jesus do? He chooses another way. He chooses to withdraw. He chooses to flee. He could stand. He could fight. And surely he would win that battle. But he chooses the weakest means. That is, children, when we would have two young people, and there is a conflict, and the one, he says, I'm just going to run away. Then maybe the other, he says, well, you are just a weakling. That is now what the Lord Jesus chooses to do. He chooses to withdraw. He chooses to set an example before his church. And he chooses to use those means which that church of God always has at its disposal. That is the weak means, the weak way. Thus, It is still another aspect of that humiliation of the Lord Jesus Christ that he does not show his strength and his power at this moment, but that he withdraws, he flees from them. And yet John, he still calls him Lord. When therefore the Lord knew, that is the name of majesty, that is the name of dominion, so that way of humility that is not offensive to the Apostle John. Give me to drink. Christ, we find him here in Samaria. Why? Because that way for him, that is through Samaria. He is in Judea, that is in the south of the land. He will go to Galilee, that is in the north of the land. And we know that there are those that have gone round about. They have crossed the Jordan, they have gone through Perea, they have crossed again, and they have come to Galilee, all that they may go around Samaria. That was not the direct way, that was a long way around. That way that led through Samaria, therefore we read that he must needs go through Samaria. If that way did not lead through Samaria, then it is possible that his actions would have been objectionable, that they would have been a stumbling block unto others. But now because that way that is leading through Samaria, it is different. So then we see that what is otherwise not justifiable, then in some circumstances, because of the necessity, it becomes different. Although we must be very careful, because that is a truth that is very often abused. Give me to drink. He must needs go through Samaria. Why? Because that is the way then unto Galilee from Judea. Is that so? Is that now the only reason? Does it just so happen that the Lord Jesus knew that the Pharisees had heard that he had baptized more disciples than John? Does it just so happen that Samaria that just lay in between? Does it just so happen that the Lord Jesus happens to come to that well in that noontime, and that he just happens to be tired, and he happens to be thirsty, and his disciples, they happen to be gone, and that woman, she happens to come to that place just at that very moment? Or is there now an overruling hand of providence which is guiding every one of these details all together? The moment of regeneration in the life of God's children that is determined from all eternity. Because the Lord, he says concerning his people, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. And if it is necessary now to turn the whole world upside down, then it will happen. As it happened even in the birth of Christ, that the whole world was moved to bring about that counsel of the Lord. Everything that is working together for good for that people, all the providences of the Lord, and the Lord, he is going to bring that people to his word, or he is going to bring that word unto his people through his own providences. And he will bring them together just in that moment that is set aside by him already from eternity. The Lord, he is not ordinarily working on the outside of the means. But he is using those means and those circumstances which are taking place in this world. When there is persecution in that one city, then he is finding success when he is driven from Judea. Then he is finding labor to do in Samaria. See how he uses his time. He is on a journey. Not only is he on a journey, but it happens to be the time to rest. It happens to be the time to eat. And how that he is using his time even to look for the good, that he may do good. And see how just in a few moments, what a great fruit that the Lord Jesus is able to bring about in this world. What kind of fruit is it? It is the first fruits. It is the first fruits of the Gentiles. This Samaritan woman. Thus it is that foreboding of that harvest that is to come, that the Lord Jesus, he is now come to usher in that new dispensation, that it will not just be for that nation of Israel, no, but it is going to be a word and a work that is going to go out into all the world. Give me to drink. And the Lord Jesus, he does not spare himself the deepest humiliations in order to bring this work to pass. That is out of love for that church. The Son of God, willing to suffer persecution, weariness, hunger, and thirst. The Son of God, willing to beg a drink from that despised Samaritan woman and the worst of that people, out of the lowest of that people. That is the love of Christ. That is the love of Christ to a people that have rebelled and who have fallen away from him, that he may raise them up out of the pit that they have brought themselves into. Let us sing. Psalter 243, 10 and 11. On thy anointed wrath is poured, as if thy covenant were abhorred. Thou hast profaned his kingly crown, his matchless strength is broken down. 10 and 11 of Psalter 243. give me to drink? You say, he is thirsty. That is right. And he has nothing to draw with. That is also right. They are the circumstances. But what is now his purpose? Because the conversion of every one of God's children that has circumstances, that conversion that is taking place in the midst of this world, he is not taking them out of the world, but he is converting them when they are in the world. And sometimes what we think is the most insignificant circumstances, the Lord, he is using as a means, as a tool in his hand. Oh, read your Bible, children and young people. How do you think the Lord is converting his people? You say that will be when we are all gathered together and we are as a family doing a Bible study. Oh, read your Bible. When you get up in the morning, will you read just a few verses even? Just a few verses. Because you do not know that time that the Lord is coming, it is in an unexpected way. No, it is not just because he is thirsty. It is not just because that he has nothing to draw that water with. But this is the beginning of the dealings of the Lord with the soul of this woman. In the midst of her wicked life. Give me to drink. That woman, she is ignorant. She does not know who that the Lord is, who is speaking to her. She does not know of his greatness. She does not know that he is going to have dealings with her, but this will be the most important conversation that she has ever had in her whole life. His eye is on her, but she doesn't realize it. And he is going to lead her. He is now going to begin with her, and he is going to lead her step by step unto the knowledge of himself. And this is the beginning. Is there a beginning in your life? Many of God's children, they cannot tell you exactly when that beginning was. But there are some that are able. But it is more often when a man is drawn out of the world, and when he is suddenly stopped in the world, that he can tell you that moment that the Lord began. But very often, when we are brought up under that truth, and then it is done in such an imperceivable way, that we do not know that day and that hour when the Lord has begun, just like we do not know of that hour that we have been born into this world. But what kind of a woman is that? And what kind of a people then is the Lord having dealings with when he is beginning with them in this world? What kind of a state, what kind of a condition are they in? There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. What kind of an answer is that? This woman, she comes to this well. And she sees this man, he is very evidently weary. And he has made known to her that he is also very thirsty. And he, in a very kind way, asks her just for a little water, in a kind way asks her just for a little something to drink, and she all but spits in his face. That she is rebuking him, that he would even think of asking her for a drink. She says, how is it that you can even ask me this? Oh woman, do you not share a common humanity with this man? Oh woman, can you not sympathize with the need of this man in his thirst? That you need to be contentious, that you need to make an argument about religion, when this man, he is in need of that which needs to sustain his very life, his very body. This woman, she sees who the Lord Jesus is. That is, she sees that he is a Jew, that he is not like her. How does he know that? How does she know that, young people? We do not know. But very obviously, she could see something. Can that also be seen on us, by the world, that we are different than they? That we are in an external way, evidently not as they are? Because the Lord Jesus, when he went through Samaria, he did not make himself to look then like a Samaritan. Maybe we do not want to do that because we are ashamed. Maybe we do not want to do that because we will be persecuted in this world. That is now what the Lord Jesus has received. Because the Lord Jesus here receives a check from this woman. She does not want to give him a drink. Why not? Because he is a Jew. Thus we say it is a contentious reply. How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? Why? Because the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. So she brings up those dissensions, those arguments, those contentions that are between that Jewish people and those Samaritan people just in the time of his great need. When did those contentions begin? Children, do you know? That was in the time of Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, Jeroboam, when that kingdom of that 10 tribes, they have revolted. They revolted against the house of David. That was that house which had received the promise of the Lord concerning that Messiah. See to thine own house, David. Thus they have rejected that house of David, and they have rejected also that temple of the Lord himself. The beginning that increased in their captivity, because Shalmaneser, the king of Assyria, has come in one of the captivities. He has brought some of that people away, and some of that people from other lands, they have come to dwell in that land of Samaria. And we know that they had to be instructed concerning the God of that land. But then, those poorest of the people that were left, They have intermarried with those heathens, and they have now begun a new kind of religion. Because we can read, they spoke the children in half in the speech of Ashdod. Thus, it was a strange religion. It was some kind of a mixture. And that people, when it was in prosperity, then they have boasted that they also were the children of Abraham. That is what this woman did too. She said, "Art thou greater than our father Jacob?" So she says, Jacob is our father. And yet we know what enemies that they were. In the adversities of the house of David. Think only of the time of Ezra and of Nehemiah and of Sanballat and Tobiah. And finally, then there were apostate Jews. They have joined with those Samaritans to build a temple on Mount Gerizim. And so that has become a haven for every Jew who has defected from the truth. How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? She chides with him. She says, why do you make use of me now and request of me now in your need? Thus, he gets a rebuke, he gets a slap. Instead of a drink. Oh, it is true. Religious contentions, they go so very deep. Actually, it is about the most important thing in life, isn't it? And those religious contentions, they are often separating men in society. They are separating very friends. They are separating very family members. Even this wicked woman, she was offended because the Samaritans were not received by the Jews. But now she takes an advantage of the misery of her fellow men, contending about these religious things in the midst of his dire necessities, which is nothing but evidence of the wickedness of her heart. How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? A contentious reply to a humble question. You say, how is that possible that he can humble himself so deeply and then receive such a reply from this woman? Yes, how is that possible? Because is that woman not also a fit picture of you and I? This Samaritan woman, and she is actually the most wicked, we would say, among, from that Samaritan people. And now the Lord, he comes and he is going to have dealings with such a woman. He speaks to such a woman. Would we speak to her? Maybe there are those in this world that we would not speak to. Say, that is a wicked person. Look at his life. And we hold ourselves just a bit or much higher. And the Lord Jesus, he has dealings with this woman. He speaks unto this woman. And then he speaks unto her how? He speaks unto her in a way of great humility. As if that he is at her disposal. He asks her to help him in his need. Is that not a wonder? And how is it with us? when the Lord, He has brought us also under the Word. And the Lord, He has dealings, at least in an outward way, also with each one of us. And what about the wickedness of our hearts? And how does He speak to us? Because we can read of a time that the Lord spoke. And when He spoke, then the mountain shook. We read that there was an earthquake. There was fire. There was the smoking of that mountain when the Lord came to speak unto that people. And that people, they were so afraid. They said to Moses, "Speak thou to us and we will hear, but let not God speak to us lest we die." And the Lord said, "It is good. It is good." What did that people ask for? They asked for a mediator. They asked for one that would stand between them and the Lord because of the anger of the Lord, because of the fury of the Lord, because of that law, because of that curse which they could not possibly endure. They asked for a mediator. The Lord said, "It is good." And He gave unto them Moses as that mediator and as that type of that mediator that was to come. For this He became man. For this He humbled Himself so deeply. And now we ask you, how does He speak? Does He speak with thunder? Does He speak now with fire and with smoke and with an earthquake? Or He doesn't. Why not? Why not? Because He has taken away that curse. Because He has fulfilled that law. So when He is speaking, then He is coming in such a different way. How is He coming? He is coming with His invitations. He is coming with His proposals of mercy to a wicked people. He is coming saying, "I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked would turn unto Me and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why would ye die, O house of Israel?" When He is speaking, then He is saying, "Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord, and He will have mercy upon him, and He will abundantly pardon." How is He speaking? No, that does not mean that He has come off of His throne. That does not mean that He has no commands, that He has no demands. But see now the manner in which He is coming. He's saying, I will yet plead with you and with your children's children will I plead. See Him weeping. See him weeping over Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee. How often would I have gathered thy children under my as a hen doth gather her chicks under her wings. And ye would not. Ye would not. What does he say? He says, your reply to my humble request, that is a reply of contention. What do you say? You say, well, I first must know if I am elect. Because if I am not elect, then it is vain to serve God. What is it? It is contention. What do we say? We say, God, he is so hard. He is the Alpha. He is so sovereign. There is nothing that we can do. Contention. We say he still requires of that which we cannot perform in our deep fall. Why does he yet find fault? Contention. We say, why can I also not have some of the world? In addition to serving the Lord, some of the enjoyments, some of the pleasures, some of the entertainments. Why do I have to leave it all behind? Contention. O congregation, do you understand that if the Lord Jesus would now leave this woman, if he would not continue with this woman, then he would leave her in her misery. That is where he found her. He did not find her seeking after him. And when he begins with her, well, then it is only a contentious reply. How does he find her? He finds her with a heart full of enmity. Do you have such a heart? Do you say that, Lord, that is now my heart. That is now my heart. A heart that is full of contention. He is going to continue with that woman. He is going to lead her. He is going to lead her step by step unto the knowledge of himself. And if the Lord will give it to us, we hope that we may consider some of that. Step by step unto the knowledge of himself. Oh, will you ask the Lord, oh Lord, lead me now with that woman. Lead me with her. Break thou the enmity. Take away the contention. And lead me, Lord, to that knowledge of thee. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, we are all gone aside. We are all gone out of the way. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. And now we have only touched upon the beginning. But may there be a cry in the midst of us, of a people that say, Lord, begin. Come to me too. Oh, speak unto me. have dealings with my soul? Wilt thou forgive our many sins and lead us further into this truth? And could it please thee to feed thy people and grant new ones that may begin in that way to Zion? Bring us safely to our homes. Give us desire and the ability to be together again in this afternoon to bring and hear thy word. For Jesus' sake, amen. 255, 3 and 4. To the Lord such might revealing, come, let us come with reverence meet, and before our Maker kneeling, let us worship at His feet. And what follows in 3 and 4 of Psalter 255.
Thank you.
Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.